Well, good morning, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving. It's coming at us. I want to call your attention to the prayer list. It's up to date, except for two notes I received this morning, and one of them is sad news. Tommy Burton passed away late last week, and his funeral will be today. That's Tommy Burton. Yesterday? Okay. Yesterday. And the other is Debbie Hager, who's a friend of Marsha Burton, is under hospice care at a nursing home. So what's on the prayer list is old news. She's at a nursing home now under hospice care and not doing very well. So I want to welcome you. And there's nothing else to add to that. Okay. This is a holiday week, and we are giving our attention this morning to Thanksgiving. So welcome to our Thanksgiving meal. Now wait a minute, this isn't Thursday, you say? That comes Thursday, it'll be turkey and dressing and sweet potato casserole and pumpkin pie. But physical nourishment is not the point of this meal. Spiritual nourishment is. Communion provides us a time to give thanks for the bounty of grace and mercy that we receive every day from the Lord. When Jesus instituted communion with his disciples in that upper room, thanksgiving was included. Paul writes in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians that Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And when we observe communion, we give thanks for the cross having happened. And for the thing to notice in that story is that with the cross, his betrayal, his suffering, all still ahead of him, Jesus gave thanks. Thankful people are thinking people. They make an intentional effort to remember the source of what they've been given. So we often speak of saying grace before meal. And we should do that on this Thanksgiving Day, certainly, when we gather for a meal. But this meal of communion says grace to us each and every time we take it. Just think of all that Jesus has done for you, and give thanks.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for everything that you do and provide for us. We realize that we are very fortunate to live in the part of the world that we do for the blessings of many. We head into this week before we sit down at a big meal for Thanksgiving, but we also realize that there's parts of the world that doesn't have that to sit down to, and we thank you those people. And Lord, we want to thank you for your Son Jesus and what he means to us. He provides us freedom from sin, and the chance to have eternal life if we just follow your word and your path that you laid out for us to follow. And we partake of these emblems in remembrance of his blood and body that was shed for us to have that opportunity. It is in his name we pray. Amen.
Lord God, again, thank you for this glorious day you've blessed us with. Thank you for this wonderful church you've blessed us with. Thank you for each and every blessing that you provide us with. As we bring forth this gift, we ask that you bless the gift and the giver. And we do this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Will you join me now in singing hymn number 111, which is Come Ye Thankful People, Come. Thank you. Let's turn number 545 now and sing the first and last verses of He Lifted Me. Okay? If you will now turn to 374 for our prayer hymn. Let's sing both verses of this song while we stand and sing and join in prayer. 374. Well, that's the wrong one. Three sixty-one? About 371. Okay. Heavenly Father, we so often come to You asking for strength or guidance or things that we feel we really need. But today we come to thank You for all that You have already done. The gift of eternal life through Jesus, Your Son. Just that crowns the list of Your uncountable gifts. And we don't have any words or any way to thank You enough for that. But there are so many other ways that Your goodness and mercy have followed us all the days of our lives. We thank you for the gift of life, for the air we breathe, for the strength to get up every morning, for the food on our tables and the shelter of our homes. We're grateful for the love of our families and friends and the common comforts of our daily lives. We even appreciate the daily work we do, Lord, especially when it benefits others as well as us. Lord, we even thank you for the trials and troubles which have shaped our lives and made us stronger. We do believe that you work all things to help us, not to hurt us. Thank you for the part you play in our lives every day, the blessings you bestow, the hope you offer through Jesus, because we offer this prayer solely in his name. Amen. Somebody said, Thanksgiving is when millions of Americans get together to laugh, talk, eat, and go home again. It's known as the four G's: giggle, gabble, gobble, and git. One grandmother said, as our family was enjoying a delicious Thanksgiving dinner, my four-year-old granddaughter stopped chomping on her drumstick long enough to look at her mother and smile and say, "I really like turkey on the cob." Well, we know that for many people, Thanksgiving is merely tea day, turkey day. You've heard the expression, I'm sure. A couple of years ago, a lady called the Buddy Butterball Turkey Talk Line. There is such a thing, you know. And she had a minor emergency. She was getting ready to stuff her turkey, and her Chihuahua dog jumped in to the turkey. And you know where the stuffing goes? And he couldn't get out. So she tried to pull him out, and that didn't work. She turned the bird upside down, shook it. That didn't work. She called the talk line, and they suggested cutting the opening a little bigger, and that did work. He was out, and they had dinner somehow. What a dilemma. Well, turkey is good on Thanksgiving, I guess. I'm not a big fan of turkey, but being thankful is a lot better. Being a thankful person 365 days a year is better than having turkey any old time. Some people want to know what God's will is for their life. Well, the text for this sermon is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Excuse me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 18. Let me read those verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. "Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you." He's talking about our elders there. "Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now those last two verses are the text for this message. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You want to know what God's will is? That you be thankful. That's pretty well spoken. No matter how little we have, we still have something to be thankful for. Many of you will remember Fulton Osler, who was a Catholic writer from some years back. But he tells the story of his old black nurse. Her name was Anna Marie Cecily Sophie Virginia Avalon Thessalonians. And she was there when Osler's mother was born. She was there when Osler was born. He said, and I'm quoting him, he said, "I remember her as she sat at the kitchen table in our house, hard old brown hands folded across her starched apron, the glistening black eyes lifted to the whitewashed ceiling, and the husky old whispering voice saying, 'Much obliged, Lord, for my victuals.'" And Alcer said, "Anne, what's a victual?" And she said, "It's what you got to eat and drink. That's victuals." Alcer said, "But you'd get your victuals whether you thank the Lord or not." She said, "Sure, but it makes everything taste better to be thankful." After the meal, she thanked the Lord again. And then she said, "You know, it's a funny thing about being thankful. Here's a game an old preacher taught me to play. It's looking for things to be thankful for. Many of them pass you right by unless you go looking for them. Take this morning," she said. "I woke up and I lay there wondering, what's I got to be thankful for right now? And you know, I couldn't think of anything to thank him for. But then from the kitchen comes the most delicious smell that ever tickled my nose. Coffee. I said, 'Much obliged, Lord, for the coffee. And much obliged, too, for the smell of it.'" At the other end of the spectrum is a businessman who had 175 employees, men and women, and he said it took him 61 years to find out that people are ingrates. They're not grateful. At Thanksgiving, he sent his employees 175 choice turkeys. 4 people thanked him. Very much like the experience Jesus had with the 10 lepers. 2 of them sent him a note of thanks. The other 2 said thank you when they happened to meet him in the hallway at work. So he said, "Because of their thanklessness, I've decided never to go out of my way to be nice again." Well, I can understand something of how he felt. You dish out good stuff and people don't even thank you for it, and you feel like you don't want to dish out good stuff anymore. But that his reaction was not right. How do you think God feels about us? Oh, wait a minute. What if he never hears thank you from us? In any form or at any time, you suppose he might stop dishing out good stuff? What about the things that come into your life? Are they blessings taken for granted, or are they blessings received with gratitude? That's what I want you to think about this morning. Taken for granted or received with gratitude? In the 17th chapter of Luke, you have the story of the 10 lepers whom Jesus cleansed or healed, and only one returned to give thanks. What was wrong with the other 9? What do you suppose was going on in their minds? The one leper saw that he was healed. Leprosy, you know, was a terrible disease, especially in that day when nobody knew what to do about it, because parts of your body just shrivel up and drop off. Your fingers, your toes, you know, it's a terrible disease. Maybe they didn't know they were cleansed. Come on. How could you not know? Not unless you're blind. Blind to your healing. I don't know how anyone could not know. Maybe they didn't attribute their cleansing to Jesus. Maybe they just thought they were so lucky they got well naturally. I can hear one of them saying, you know, I've been feeling better the last few days. I'll bet that's just coming on. Well, everything good we have comes from God. We may have worked and made the money to buy something, but essentially it comes from God. For God gives us life. He gives us the breath to live. He gives us our health, the ability to work, the job, the money from the job, and whatever it is we buy with that money. It all comes from God. In the beginning. Now it may be that these nine lepers felt they deserved their cleansing. Maybe they just thought, well, it's about time. Some people are egotistical enough to think that they actually deserve all the good things they get in life. I'm a self-made man. I earned all these things. I should have them. Some people think they're because they're Americans or because they're Christians. They deserve every good thing in life. I honestly don't think any of us would dare ask God to give us what we deserve. Not if we really stop and think about it. We're not naturally grateful for the good things we see in life, that's something we have to learn. I heard about a lady one time, and I may have told you this story before, but she complained about everything and everybody. You know her? Finally, her preacher found something she couldn't complain about. She was famous for her crop of potatoes. She raised the best potatoes in the county, and he said to her, well, for once you must be pleased. Your crop of potatoes this year was the finest ever. Everybody is talking about how splendid your potatoes are this year. And she glared at him, said, well, they're not so bad, but now I don't have any rotten ones to feed the pigs. Well, a friend dies and suddenly we realize how much that friend meant to us. Our water becomes too polluted to drink, and suddenly we appreciate having good water. My microwave died on me a couple of weeks ago, and I thought my life was over. I thought I wouldn't ever eat again, crackers and peanut butter. But it didn't turn out that way. Somebody said, suppose we could compress the population of the world into one town of 1,000 people. In this town, there would be only 60 Americans. That's how we rate in the Earth population. And yet, we 60 Americans would receive half the income of the entire town. We would own 15 times as much per person as all our neighbors. We would eat 72% more than the maximum food requirement. Many of the other 940 people would go to bed hungry. That's reality, folks. Have we taken the blessings of being born in America for granted? I don't know. In Houston, Texas, back in the year 2000, there was a 57-year-old woman who underwent a surgical gamble. in which the doctors temporarily removed her heart, cut out three rapidly growing tumors in her heart, and then replaced it in her chest. Doctors were cautiously optimistic about after the surgery. Only one other person had ever survived that kind of surgery. But Joanne Minnick's heart rested in a bowl while they worked on it. Doctors said the malignant tumors, one of them was as large as a lemon in her heart. But they were restricting the blood flow, and they could have killed her in as little as two more weeks if they hadn't done something. She said the surgery was the only way she had a chance to live. She said, I know it's scary, but I have no other choice. I don't have time to wait for a heart transplant. Brothers and sisters, I'll bet Joanne Minnick is not taking her life for granted if she's still alive. If she was able to survive that, I'll bet she'll be forever a grateful person. Please, please don't take any good thing for granted. We can be humbled any minute, any one of us. Any good thing and all good things could be taken from us at any time, including our lives. So please don't ever take God's blessings and God's goodness for granted. Instead of taking them for granted, we should take them with gratitude. Lots of gratitude. Tons of gratitude. Never ceasing gratitude. That's why Paul says, be thankful in all circumstances. You know, it's easy to give thanks when things are going well, isn't it? When the work is going well, the marriage is okay, and the kids are behaving, we're able to pay the bills and enjoy some of the pleasures of life. But what about being thankful and giving thanks when things are not so good? Let me give you an example. And you may have heard this before too. But there's a famous Bible scholar of a century or two ago named Matthew Henry. He wrote commentary on the entire Bible. Once he was robbed, somebody stopped him on the street and took his money. And later he wrote these words in his diary. He said, first, let me be thankful because I was never robbed before. Second, let me be thankful that although they took my money, they did not take my life. Third, let me be thankful that even though they took all I had, it wasn't much. And fourth, let me be thankful that it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed someone else. Now, if you were mugged on the street, took all your money, your credit cards, your watch, your cell phone, would you be able to find four things to be thankful for? Here's another story. There's a preacher named Boyce Mouton. He was a minister in California some years ago. He said, in 1954, a young missionary recruit to Alaska, someone who was preparing to go to Alaska as a missionary, was stricken with a paralytic disease which left her bedfast for the last 10 years of her life. Her name was Marie Napier. He said, the first time I met Marie was in her home in California. He said, I stepped into the room and I immediately heard the pulsation of her breathing machine. He said it was a rocking bed which rocked back and forth to help her breathe. I've never heard of one of those. But he looked at her and she was emaciated, she was pale, she had not moved in more than 5 years. So he tried not to stare at her, but got tired of looking at his feet, so he raised his eyes to look at her face, and there he saw a broad, understanding smile on her face. Now, he visited her on other occasions, and each time he saw that smile when he left. He came to give, but he left having received. Said the last time he saw her was in the county hospital in San Jose, California. Power failure had stopped the bed from rocking, and by the time she arrived at the hospital, her life was almost gone. They had put her in an iron lung. Some of you will remember what the iron lung looked like. But the pulsating collar of the iron lung had rubbed her neck raw. So the doctor had given her a break from the lung to a less efficient device, which they placed across her body. It was called a breathing shell. And as he stepped to her side, she looked up at him with tired eyes. And a smile broke out on her face. And she said with some effort, "I'm so thankful for my shell." You ever have difficulty thinking of things to be thankful for? Let me give you a little help. I hope you do occasionally thank God for the fellowship and the spiritual nurture we receive here. But let's go a little deeper into the church community and activities. And let me ask you some questions. Do you ever think to thank God for whoever it is that keeps this place so clean? You ever thank God for whoever prepares communion every Sunday? Do you ever thank God for the ones who teach our children? Do you ever thank God for the folks who accompany our singing? We had one Sunday like that, and we got along, but we get a lot better when we have Charlene and Lynette to help us. Do you thank God for whoever, you know, when we say there's a card, we're going to send a card to Brad Teeter, be sure to sign it. Do you ever thank God for whoever takes those and mails them? Or they wouldn't get there. Do you ever thank God for whoever keeps track of our offerings and pays all our bills? That's the job. You ever thank God for whoever changes light bulbs when they burn out or orders fuel oil when we get low? You ever thank God for whoever orders flowers for funerals or hospitals? We send flowers. You ever thank God for whoever operates the sound system? We had some substitutes last week and they did a great job. Do you thank God for whoever coordinates the dinners we have out here and, of course, the fish fry? Somebody has to put all that together. Who is it? You ever thank God for them? How about, do you thank God for whoever manages our church insurance? Didn't think of that one. You ever thank God for the gift of forgiveness and eternal life through His Son? I'm sure you do. But these are all things just related to this church. You could easily find a lot more things to be grateful for in and around your home or your family. Like old Anna said, go looking for them. They are there. Now, folks, I say may God help us give thanks always and in all circumstances, for this is His will for our lives. That's what Paul said, and I believe it. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter whether the circumstances may be bad, or they may be good, or they may be mediocre, He still wants us to be thankful and give thanks, good, bad, or otherwise. When we sing our hymn of invitation this morning, I hope that your heart is thankful to God for the gift of life He offers through His Son, Jesus. And we're going to sing just the first and last verses of number 312. I wish all of you a happy Thanksgiving celebration. And sometime this week, I'd like for you to read chapter 4 and 5 of the first epistle of John. The last two chapters of 1 John. Okay? And we'll get back to finish up that series of messages next week. A benediction is usually a prayer, but you know the word benediction means to speak good. I want to speak good to you this morning. In the words of the Apostle Paul, may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your love. We're so grateful for this church. We're so grateful for the folks that are so good to us. We pray that you'll make us like Jesus, healers and givers. Through Jesus' name, amen.